boys and girls. Radio fishing time one more time. I don't know what's going on. What a day. Anyway, Fishing Frank here in the chair, and we have Captain Chris, and I'll let him pronounce his last name for you. And then we got Captain Billy Barton. How do you say your last name, Chris?
Finelli.
Finelli. Okay. Yeah. So anyway, we've got an unusual topic. We're going to talk about catching fish and what's in the fish when you catch them. Because, you know, a lot of us actually like to eat fish. So you go out, you catch these fish, and all of a sudden you're cleaning them and always looking at the stomach content to see what the fish has been eating, what's going on. Just to kind of start this off, just a few years ago, I was out fishing, caught a redfish, and when I brought it up to the boat, I look at it, and coming out of its butt was a jig head. There was literally a jig head that he had started to extract, let's say. We're not going to say poop its way out, but yeah, there was literally a jig head protruding. I actually was able to remove it because I wasn't going to eat the redfish. Put him back in the water, and off he was swimming. And, you know, when you're fishing, you see that kind of weird stuff. Now, Billy, you've come across something unusual in the belly of a redfish.
Yes, this month, you know, it was probably 2-3 weeks ago, January 9th, actually, was the day I had a customer catch a 27-inch redfish, and it was weak. It didn't even fight well. You know, it really... it was a weak fish. I think he was sick to his stomach.
It wasn't a weak fish, but it was a fish that was weak.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Isn't that weird? We got to watch what we say about a fish, because otherwise they're going to think it's some kind of trout. You know? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
But he had a snook in his belly.
Had a snook in his belly. How big was the redfish?
It was a perfect 27-inch fish right at the top of the slot.
Well, 26 and 7/8.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
27
yeah.
is actually legal.
Yeah. I know. Yeah. I mean, he wasn't quite 27, yeah, but
just
under, close.
Hair under.
Yeah.
So you're filleting this fish, and you get to the stomach, curious, right?
Oh, yeah, because he was fat. I mean, you could tell he was a fat fish.
Big old fat fish. And so when you cut the stomach open, what was in it?
It was full of the typical, you know, which is usually this time of year, small mud crabs is most abundant in their bellies, you know. It was full of mud crabs. It had a couple small pinfish in it. And it had the snook, which was probably 7 to 8 inches long. And, you know, I mean, it was all he could do to fit it in his stomach. I mean, it was the full length of his stomach sack, you know.
That's kind of amazing. So you catch a redfish just close to 27 inches, and inside is a 7 or 8 inch snook.
Yeah.
Along with the other stuff.
Which is, I've never seen that before, you know.
I honestly, out of all the redfish I've ever cleaned, Chris, have you ever come across a snook in the belly of a redfish before?
Never.
Me either. I've never actually seen that.
Yeah.
So, Chris, what's your story on weird fish?
Just the other day on Saturday, I had a customer catch same size redfish, just under 27, and when I was cleaning it, felt the belly, felt real hard. Cut it open to check it out, see what was in there. And while I was cutting it open, I seen a hook sticking out of the belly, and cut it open, and there was a little, what looked to be a little live target pinfish lure in his belly.
Really?
And both of the treble hooks were sticking out of the belly.
So you fillet in the fish out, and then you open the stomach contents to see, you know, because you see hooks protruding through the stomach lining, and inside is the lure that we think from the appearance is a live target lure,
right?
Pinfish one. And was there anything else in its stomach?
Nothing else.
That was it.
And it fought hard, unlike Billy's fish. Fought hard, took the guy at least 4 or 5 minutes to get it in. It's taking drag just like a normal red would do.
It's one of the things people always say, I don't want to use stainless steel because stainless steel would hurt the fish. And it's actually kind of the opposite. A lot of studies, they did very short-lived studies because they were politically incorrect studies because they were true. And anything true cannot be politically correct, usually. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So what they did was they found that the stainless steel hooks, just like when you look at the kids in the mall and their face is full of steel stuff and they got piercings all over them. Well, if stainless steel killed, all those kids in the mall would be dead. Mm-hmm. And we find the same thing in fish. They get hooked by these hooks that are good, made of good quality materials that don't corrode, and they don't create the toxicity like rust or cadmium, which corrodes down and actually puts gives a blood poisoning to the fish or infections. Mm-hmm. And so while this fish had swallowed the lure and the hooks had actually gone through, it really, up until that point, hadn't hurt him. Eventually, maybe that would all work its way out, but mm-hmm. Over time, it looked like a pretty well intact lure, so I don't think it had it in him long.
It didn't look like it. It looked like it just started to fade, and there was water inside the lure.
So it was broken.
Right.
And that might be how he got it. Broken lure on the bottom, he hit it, bounced up. Maybe it was from a fishing pole.
And there was a little bit of line on the where the leader was tied onto, just the knot.
It just broke. Everything but the knot had broken away. Mm-hmm. So it's hard to say where that was. It could have been off a line, or it could have been. It's really hard to say. Because you would think if he had swallowed it while he was fighting somebody, it would be broke off more up by his mouth. There would have been like 4 to 6 inches of line on top of it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Maybe they tied a bad knot.
Well, he said the knot was still on there, right?
Just the knot. There was no line sticking off of the knot. Just a little bit. Just the knot.
That's weird enough.
He had a weak point on it. That is not.
Who knows? I mean, I don't know what to make of that. But a lot of crazy fish stories out there. Stuff you see in the water that's absolutely beyond recognition. Any more good fish stories like that?
Well, actually, yeah. I mean, I have so much to say that I could say about this topic because it just mind boggles me. It always seems to be this time of year, and I may be wrong, that I find interesting things in fish bellies. Last year in February, I found 3 horseshoe crabs in a redfish belly. I had never seen that before. They were small horseshoe crabs,
right?
But they were intact. You know, he inhaled them.
Yeah.
And another thing I saw last winter, and we spoke on this, was that big gator trout that went belly up at the boat just like this redfish. I believe they have a stomach ache when they bite off too much, more than they can chew. I believe that this time of year, being cold-blooded creatures, if they bite off too much, that they might have a stomach ache. You know?
You're kind of technically true. What was in the one that you were saying before?
The trout?
Yeah.
The trout was 24, 25 inches with an 11-inch trout in his belly. So
a trout with a trout in it.
Yes, sir.
And it was almost half the size of the fish that swallowed
exactly.
it. Exactly. And you know, I can tell you, for years, all of a sudden you'll come across a picture here, a picture there, of like a 30-inch snook trying to eat a 29-inch something or another, or it just happens, and then they start to eat it, and then, oh my God, you know, I'm stuck with this thing, but. To your point, I think you're correct, because when you have cold-blooded animals, if the fish is a little too cold for that species, it has a hard time digesting it, and the stomach contents, when they don't digest, can go bad. They can go sour, putrefy, whatever you want to call it, and actually poison the fish. There has to be a certain temperature in order for them to digest their food. So that's why in the winter you see a lot more fish going after shrimp and other things like that, because they digest better rather than a whole fish where you have scales, bones, all the rest of that stuff to go with it. The shrimp digest better. And it's one of the reasons down here why we switch to shrimp in the winter, because the fish are more likely to eat them, because too much of a big fish in their belly can actually turn toxic before it dissolves.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why you see it in the winter and not as much in the summer, because the whole breakdown of the stuff, it's too cold, it doesn't break down in their stomach.
Understood. Yep.
So you got to talk to Robert. I wish we could get Robert to hear in on that. He knows the whole, you know, he's the walking encyclopedia.
Well, he's kind of taught me a little bit on the subject, you know.
So you're exactly right on the bellyache. But, I mean, there is a scientific, I forget what Robert calls it, but, you know, I ain't that smart. Yeah. All right, both you guys been on the water. Getting a lot of requests about, you guys seen any places that has better size trout than the other one, Chris? If you knew, how's Turtle Bay?
I haven't been over Turtle Bay in a while.
Okay. Where have you
probably
been?
Probably since last spring. I've been recently going in front of Pirate Harbor.
All right.
In front of
any decent sized trout out there?
And they're the same inside and outside. They're all 15 to 20. I haven't caught any big ones yet.
15 to 20 would be legal.
Right. Mm-hmm. I haven't caught any
so
over.
So out in front of, no, that's what I'm looking for. Mm-hmm. People are asking me a lot about where are they going to find keeper sized trout. And so you're saying out in front of Pirate Harbor right now.
Out in front of Pirate Harbor on the outside of the bar.
So you're actually not going back onto the flats. You're staying outside of the flats fishing
right
out there.
Right.
So any kind of techniques good for them?
I usually put everybody set up with a different technique. Circle hook with a split shot, and then one with a jig head, and one under a cork. And then whatever they want that day, I'll switch them all to
what
that.
Yeah, what's producing.
Yeah. Yesterday, the shrimp wasn't working. I caught one fish on a shrimp, and I was throwing a mirror lure off the back, and almost every single cast, I was getting one. So I switched them all to mirror lure, all different colors, and they were all catching them. And we got a limit.
Were you doing
the
MR-17s?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Was it a slow twitch or fast?
Slow. I told them to do 2 seconds. Let it hit the water, wait a couple seconds, do 1-2, and then pause for 2 seconds, and do it again, and they'll hit it on the second, on
right
the pause, and limit it out within an hour, and then we went to the reef.
Gotcha. Billy, any good places for trout?
I've been doing kind of the opposite, you know. I've been, most of my fishing has been behind the bar. I've been on the east side, the west side, and Turtle and Bull Bay, you know, all four. I've been bouncing around, and I have not had any consistency to catching legal trout. I have, you know, kind
of
like the way our
a
weather's
lot of 12,
been,
13, 14-inch fish.
Well, one day I'll go in there and do great on legal fish, and then it seems like, you know, our weather patterns are consistently changing. We'll get a front, and it'll last maybe a few days. It'll drop our water temps, and I think that moves the fish around.
All right, so you know, out of Bull Bay, Turtle Bay, the west side or east side, if you're going to pick one where you're most, you feel that like you're more confident, where would you confident?
The biggest trout I've been catching have been from Gasparilla Sound to Turtle Bay. Cape Hayes Point, Turtle Bay, Bull Bay, Whitten Creek. Those three areas outside.
So you're going to call Bull Bay Turtle Bay. Are you fishing in the middle of the bays for them, or up against or in the cuts?
I'm in the middle of the bays. I like to focus a lot on the oyster bars, especially, and the big potholes, sand holes around the oyster bars. I do a lot of that's.
Now, are you using shrimp, white bait, lures? What are you using?
I have not been throwing the net at all. I've been shrimp every day. You know, and shrimp has been productive. If one species isn't cooperative, you know, if redfish, per se, aren't cooperative, then usually trout or sheep's head,
okay,
you know.
Well, we'll kind of get to that. So mm-hmm. You're going to call either Bull or Turtle Bay, drift or anchor?
I'm drifting, and you know, if I have only a couple people on the boat, I'm drifting until I find them and then anchoring.
Okay, mm-hmm. So we've got outside the bar out there in front of Pirate Harbor, Captain Chris, and then Billy's calling Bull Bay or Turtle Bay. So that's good news. At least we're hearing some more stuff about different trout. I guess the next monkey, you know, purple elephant thing would be sheephead. Chris, you got any good sheephead advice for people?
Just I've been catching big sheep's head on the reef and using a tiny, tiny split shot, and even some days when there's slow water movement, I'm actually taking chunks of shrimp and chumming them up like you would snapper offshore.
Right.
And just freelining the shrimp down, and I was catching my bigger sheep's head that way, and the other ones would the split
now
shot.
Now, using shrimp, live shrimp for bait or pieces?
Live shrimp.
live shrimp for bait. Now, the reef you're talking about is one off of Alligator Creek, just south of Punta Gorda. It's the Alligator Creek Reef or Concrete Reef, whatever. The directions are right on the website, boys and girls, if you want to go check that out. You'll see the pilings. Now, at the reef, I always want to be careful. I anchor off of the reef and let the boat drift over the reef. Because if you anchor on the reef, you've donated that reef to the reef. It becomes part of it. So is that what you do?
Exactly what I do. I'll drive over it, nose into the wind, and drop the anchor well away from the structure and drift back.
Yeah, I just let out more rope, you know, so at least we're on the same page there. So you're either freeline or split shot, no slow current days. If the current's picked up a little bit, is the bite still as good? I find the bite better when it's slow, when the tide's as slow as possible for sheephead. The thing I love about it is I can go back on the flats and do the trout and the snook, the redfish and all that, and while the water's moving fast, then once the water starts to stop, all that fishing shuts off. They don't do well on the flats. But I can run right out to the reef and bang in on the sheephead because, to me, they seem to bite better on the slack tide or the slow tide. How about you?
It seemed like that the past couple days out there at the slack tide, low tide. The better part of the outgoing tide, the trout bite was hot. And then as soon as we got our limit, we went out there, the tide was barely even moving, and we're using tiny split shots and even freelining it, and we were having better luck doing that. Less water movement.
Well, we're on the same page. Not, you know, it's one of the things I like. People say, well, there's the, you know, it's at the tide and there's no water moving, I'm not going to go. I said, well, hit the reefs and stuff, because that's when the fish bite the best, you know, unlike the flats where I need the water moving. Now, Billy, you got any good bet for sheephead? Have you been doing any of those?
Yeah, I mean, my best sheephead day yet was just Saturday, you know. I mean, we had 13 keepers, and that's what they wanted, you
know. What area?
I was on the grass flats just south of Burnt Store fishing the oyster bars.
Really?
Yes, sir.
Very cool. So back on the flats, working on oyster bars and stuff like that. So what were you using to get the sheephead?
I fish Mission Fishing jig heads, an 1/8 ounce jig head with a 1/0 hook, you know, and I like to thread a small shrimp kind of up into a ball onto the jig head, you know.
Gotcha.
But I couldn't agree more on the slack tide thing, you know. I feel like when there's resistance, a sheep's head is more likely to nibble your bait off of the hook, you know, and I feel like if he has room to pick it up, you know, if you give him a little bit of extra, you know, a little slack, if you will, and he has room and no resistance to pick it up, he's more likely to pick it up and to swim with it than to tap it off your hook.
So, you know, now during that, were you looking for other species while the tide was running and then the tide backs off and you go looking for sheephead? Or were you fishing like something and then the sheephead started biting, so you just switched to that?
I was targeting redfish in my mind. They had mentioned sheephead to me on the phone, and I knew there were sheephead in that area, but they were kind of actually turned into a bycatch. I was focused on both, but I really wanted redfish, and I started catching sheephead.
So, you know? A great accidental find.
Yes, sir.
But the accident only happens on the first one. After that, as you start picking up more of them, that's where the intent and figuring it out comes into play, because finding sheephead in the middle of the open flat, Chris, I would say that's pretty not normal.
Not normal at all. I'll see them more in the deeper water around structure, holding in rocks and stuff like that.
Okay. Billy, was that a thought in your mind before that? Was that you said that was accidental. I don't usually find them in the middle of the flat.
I'm not on the middle of the flat. I'm fishing the edges of oysters.
Gotcha.
You know, so, and I am full of confidence fishing them on oyster bars this time of year. You know,
this year I've heard about more sheephead on the flats. Last year was pretty good. The year before that was probably the first year, or probably the best year I've ever heard of for sheephead on the flats, underneath the mangroves, in the holes, all across the flats with these great sheephead. And then last year was okay, but it wasn't as good. But this year, more and more stories of that. I'm fishing for redfish or fishing for trout. Now all of a sudden I'm into this great sheephead bite, and they're bigger fish. They're nice size, really good fight. A lot of fun back on that light tackle.
Another thing, Frank, is, you know, we're just starting, like, if our water temperature, the sheep's head are in full force, I believe, especially south, you know, not as much on the north end of the bay, but they're starting to make their way north as it gets cooler, you know.
Well, sheephead are, to me, a Gulf fish. They're not so much a harbor fish.
Mm-hmm.
And once the water starts chilling down, they come in to spawn, do the whole thing, kind of like crappie. As soon as it gets cold, the freshwater crappies all bunch up. In the wintertime, they're thinking as the water gets warm. But in Florida, it's hot all year, and then we have a little bit of cold spell. As soon as they get those cold waters, they all bunch up, do a big spawn, and sheephead are the same way. But they're coming in from the Gulf, a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
So the natural progression of it would be through Boca Grande Pass or one of them, and right in along the straits towards Burnt Storch. So that's usually be the first areas, the outsides of Bull Bay, Turtle Bay, Boquilla, and then hitting Burnt Storch, then migrating north and south.
Gotcha. Yep. Yep. Yeah, I couldn't agree more.
I mean, that's just the way it looks to me. That's mm-hmm. or how it used to look all the time.
Yep.
When I was actually fishing Frank before I was paperwork Frank.
Yeah. You still.
So anyway, so we've got a couple of spots for sheephead there. I've heard Placida's doing fairly good. Anybody heard any stories about any of the piers or anything?
I heard Eljo wasn't like Josh. I talked to Josh, and Josh told me that Eljo wasn't really producing
much. Yeah, I haven't
much.
Heard of him. We had about 3 or 4 days where Placida was on fire. The guys were just cranking on the sheephead, and now I heard it's back down to normal or a little. It's good, but not great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's you can catch fish and do it at Placida, but it's not as wonderful as it was for. We had about a 4 day period where it went nuts. So anyway, if the cold weather hangs in there, we're gonna get even more. Any fish that you guys are seeing that we should be yakking about?
Been catching a couple cobia at the reef too.
Really?
Just free lining shrimp out, and I've got 4 in the past week and a half or 2 weeks, and 1 that was a keeper.
So you find this better with a bobber or just free line?
I caught them all free lining.
Free line. Mm-hmm. And basically doing the same thing as you were doing for the sheephead, just whacking into the cobia, or were you actually seeing them to cast to them?
Probably about a week and a half ago, I was actually seeing them come up to the back of the boat, and I was chumming, and I'd see like 3 or 4 just hanging off enough to, you know, stay away from the boat. They didn't actually come check us out. And I caught 1 that day, and then the other days that I caught the 3 other ones, I didn't see any. I was
mm-hmm.
just casting the shrimp up current, up tide, and just letting it flow and just hang off the back of the boat.
And Billy, you find any cobia?
I haven't seen a cobia since. All right.
So what would be a fish that you would you see around?
Primary for me has been redfish and trout and sheep's head. Those three species.
So. What's up with the redfish?
You know, I'm not finding big wads of redfish. You know, if I catch, I'm having to move around. If my customers want just redfish, they want, you know, that's what they want to do. I'm having to cover a lot of ground. You know, I'm not finding big wads of redfish anywhere in particular. I'm finding a half a dozen or a dozen here and
two or three, and then four, and then ones and twos and.
Yep.
It's that kind of thing. Shrimp still been the bait?
Yes, sir. Shrimp, medium size, you know, nothing too big.
Chris, how are you doing on redfish? You find any, or has it been good or bad?
A couple here and there over on the east side, and I've basically just been targeting trout over there. But I'll also, you know, I'll put somebody with a jig head, pinch a tail off the jig head, thread the shrimp on the jig head, and throw it out. And I've been catching 1 or 2 here and there.
All right, yeah, but that's kind of what this is about, because, like, Billy wasn't finding cobia, you were. He's, you know, everybody kind of gets into kind of a niche on the fishing. I guess, how's snook fishing? Catch and release, you guys are running in any snook, Billy?
I mean, not in numbers, but I did see 1 good 30-incher this week on a live shrimp, you know. And, you know, if we're getting them, they tend to be small. Once in a while, you pick up a big one on a shrimp in the winter, but it's not
normal.
Yeah.
How are you doing, Chris? Any snook?
Same thing. They've been smaller ones underneath, popping cork. I've been catching, you know, like the 20, 25-inchers, little cookie-cutter snook.
Well, that's still, they're fun. They're a lot of fun.
Yeah, I have to remind myself that sometimes when people come down and catch a 25-inch snook, to us it's little because we catch bigger ones, but to them sometimes it's the biggest fish of their life and they're going nuts.
Yeah, a 24-inch snook, it's still a 2-foot fish, and when you live up north and you do the yellow perch, you do bluegills, you do crappies, you do walleye and stuff like that, but still, 24-inch fish is pretty good size, you know, and it's hard to remember. I always tried to watch their faces and see the smiles, or with the guys, the scowl, if it was a real, real deep scowl, that was like a really good fish for him. You know, if it's a woman, you know, you see the big smiles, you know. It's kind of weird. Sometimes the guys will smile and laugh about it, but a lot of times they get kind of really into it, so they're, like, really scowling at that fish, you know. And I kind of watch for extreme scowling or extreme happiness to before I go, wow, you know.
Yeah.
I try to do a lot of wows because I remember my first snooks and stuff like that. I don't care what size they were. They were great. Mm-hmm. You know, I got one. We had one of the bosses from Rapala Rapala came down, and we had it was a weird day, kind of a cross between amazing and horrific all at the same time. Went out, I think that day we were with three different captains, and no one but him all day long caught a fish, and he only caught 5 fish during the course of the day. We started out with one captain, and him and I were fishing, and I was fishing right there too. He caught a redfish, and then we went over, and I forget, we went somewhere else, and I think he caught a trout. And then we switched captains, and another guy, we went out with him, and he caught a snook and a small shark. And then we switched, and we went out with Angel, and we caught a tarpon. I mean, from what I remember, the guy caught 5 fish that day. He caught a redfish, a trout, a snook, a shark, and a tarpon.
Sounds like a good day to me.
I mean, that's a good day. Ultimate inshore slam.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But each one of the species, but he only caught one of each species, and that was the only 5 fish caught all day.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was a really slow day because we started out very early in the morning. We didn't get back till after dark, and so 5 fish all day. But the only guy in the boat who caught them only caught 5 fish, and each one was a different species. Ultimate inshore slam.
Yeah,
that's the grand master slam
it
of
is.
Fishing to do that in a day. You know,
yeah.
So it's pretty weird. So, is there anything else out there? You guys seen a spade fish around? I know nobody talks about them. You seen any?
No, not really.
Okay, nobody's seen mackerel yet either.
No
Spanish. It's a little cold for them, I guess.
The triple tail are running pretty good. You know, I've heard a lot of triple tail stories, you know, from buddies that run the stone crab pots, you know, down
right.
near Boca.
I've caught 3 in the past couple months in the harbor.
Yeah.
Because there'll be a big wave of buoys around, and I always look at them just from seeing them all the time going offshore whenever I get a chance. Mm-hmm. And I always look.
Now, so, is there any fish we should be chatting about with the people? Anything you guys want them to know about?
You know, I mean, back to what we started on, you know, I mean, just keep in mind the water temperature. If it starts to come back up, you know, and it starts to warm up, whatever is there in abundance, you know, Josh and I had this conversation this morning about fish being opportunistic feeders, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, just because they're focused on smaller baits, and if you're not getting them on smaller baits, don't be scared to try something different, something new,
right.
You know.
Chris, yeah. any last ideas?
No, I think we covered it all for our
all right.
wintertime stuff.
How do they get a hold of you, Chris, if somebody wants to do a charter?
Call me up. Numbers.
Okay, that's key part. Number is
941-702-9043.
Captain Billy, if somebody wants to get a hold of you.
941-979-6140.
Yes, sir. I kind of picture myself trying to write the number. And what I hate is I listen to a radio show and they say, well, call in is blah, 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 blah. What? You know, if you want to get a hold of this guy, just call 941-6222, and I'll be happy to take you out. We'll have a great time fishing. I'm like, really? You know, I know because it's a podcast, radio fishing can be just backed up. But if you say it too fast, by the second or third time I backed up, I'm sorry. I'm over it. I ain't calling you anymore. Okay. Let's see. Fishing Frank here in the chair. That's Captain Billy Barton over there. And Chris Finelli?
Finelli.
Finelli.
Yep.
Okay, like final. It's the Finelli.
Yes, sir.
It's the last captain, the Finelli captain. Okay. Anyway, I guess that's about it. Say goodbye, Billy.
Y'all have a good one. Good luck out there.
Say goodbye, Chris.
See you later. Tie lines.
Okay, this is Fishing Frank in another episode of Radio Fishing. Thank you all so much for listening. Hopefully it wasn't all nonsense. Hopefully there's something good in there for you. And we will catch you on the next Radio Fishing. Bye-bye, boys and girls.